Welcome to Basic Gospel. Heard daily at this time to bring the basic gospel into your life. It's relevant, personal, and essential. Hello, everybody. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and our purpose every day is to provide scriptural answers to your personal issues and Bible questions. This is where the basic gospel intersects with your daily life. Hear it, believe it, and live it. We invite your calls right now at 1-800-677-9377. That's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377. Call now. Well, Richard, I'm so used to seeing Bob Christopher up front, I almost did it again. But he is absent today from these microphones, so it's you and me, and welcome.
Yeah, we'll do what we can.
Yeah,
I want to add my welcome to everyone today, those of you listening, and to remind you that the reason we call this Basic Gospel is because this program is about Jesus Christ,
yes,
and only Jesus Christ. He died for our sins. He was buried to prove his death. He came back to life to offer us life, and now that life is available simply by accepting the offer. And one of the things we'd like to focus on this week is in the area of relationships. And today, what we'd like to talk about, if you've got examples or questions or whatever, is every one of us has a need to belong. It's just part of being human.
Yeah.
And so have there been ways that this excellent news, most excellent news about Jesus, has met this need in your life? Or are you worrying about or wondering about, might he meet that need in my life? If you've got a question related to that or actually to any other topic, please feel free to give us a call. We can hardly wait.
Absolutely. That line is 1-800-677-9377, and they're open right now, and we await your calls. And, of course, that's why we are here every day, to field your calls about a scriptural question or perhaps a life issue that you might have. And we want to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377. 1-800-677-9377. The lines are open right now. Quickly to Brooklyn, New York, let's talk to Louise listening on WMCA. Hi, Louise. Welcome to People to People, and welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hello. Yes, I called you, I think it was 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Yeah. Well, now I'm kind of having another problem. Well, two more problems. I live in they call SRO, single room occupancy.
Okay.
Catholic charities, anyway.
Okay.
Anyway, the priests have been coming. They're trying to convert me. I'm Baptist. I was born and I was baptized Catholic. I went to school and I always feared God, you know, because mm-hmm. God is going to do this to you if you're bad. God is, and I still fear God to this day. Yes, you're supposed to fear him, but not in the way that I fear him. They're coming every day. I did the rosary with him, and he wants me to go to confession, and I told him that why can't I confess my sins to God, to Jesus Christ? You know, he went to the cross for me, and we all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. And it's so confusing because when I listened to your tape, it really grabbed me, mm-hmm. you understand? And the other thing is, and I called you up that I was sick. Well, the other half of the story of that, I'm going to make it fast, is I have to tell the truth about everything. I'm letting everything out. I've been an addict for 40-something years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on methadone, not heroin, and I want to stop.
Okay. Louise, let's deal with both issues. First, the one, you are staying at a Catholic facility.
Yeah, I've been here 13 years. I've been supposed to be out 2 years.
So it is completely reasonable for the people who run that, the priests and the nuns who run that.
No, they don't run it.
Well,
it's
but it's still
Saint
it's still
Joseph.
A Catholic sponsored thing.
Right.
And so it is not unreasonable for them to ask you to participate in Catholic services. They can't force you, of course. So you can either accept that and go to a Catholic service and get out of it what you can, or you can politely refuse.
I did, and I went to Catholic school.
Yeah, so you just leave
for
it at that.
Many years.
They can't control you. You don't want to be rude to them because they've given you a place to stay, and that's a good thing. So just keep the relationship as positive as you can. Now, regarding addiction, that's a tough issue, as you know.
Yes, you've
lived it for a long, long time, and the longer you live it, the harder it is to get out. Jesus is sufficient to that. I can't guarantee you that Jesus will take the cravings away or do so instantly or whatever, but Jesus is sufficient even in the midst of addiction. And so what I'd like you to do is to focus on the fact that Jesus really has forgiven you of even sins like addiction and the sins that come away from addiction, because sometimes when you're addicted, you get into crime and all the various things to help support the habit, and there's just all kinds of things that can happen.
Rather than
focus on the negative side of this, focus on what Jesus has to offer for you. He can give you peace that literally passes understanding in the midst of the worst possible situations. He has forgiven you. He has given you life. And even if you fail, even if you were to stop the methadone and go back to heroin, you are a forgiven person. I know you don't want to do that, but don't live in fear. See, the fear is what ends up controlling you, and that's the issue with addiction in the broader sense. You begin to fear that you can't get what you need. You can't get the good feeling back. You can't get the rush back or whatever. And now, you've got the fear. So what I'm going to do, what I need to do, because I really can't talk to the specific issues of methadone and all of that.
I know.
I'm not qualified. I can talk to you about Jesus, but I'm not going to try and talk to you about something that I honestly can't talk about. So what I'd like to do is put you on hold. We'll get follow-up numbers from you, and we can call you back off the air with more information and talk to you that way, if you'd be willing to do that.
Yeah, but can you just, ask other people. Well, they'll hear me now.
Sure.
They could pray for me. I believe Jesus could take me off this.
Yeah.
Instead of me going to the clinic every day and drinking methadone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of it. I'm tired with all the sicknesses, and I honestly believe when I listen to the tape, why all these years I'm so afraid of God? Why? Why? Look what Jesus did for me. Why?
Yeah,
can't
so
my
instead
faith
of
be stronger?
So instead of asking questions like, why am I afraid and why can't my faith be stronger, just concentrate on saying thank you to Jesus for what he's done. So I'm going to put you on hold. We'll get your contact information, and we can have somebody call you back and talk with you about that later. So thanks, Louise.
Yeah,
that is a tough issue.
It truly is.
Boy, and that the rubber meets the road right there, because we all make choices, and when we've made the wrong choices, and she freely admits that, the cost is high. And so people who are listening, if you'd remember Louise in your prayers, ask her that she gets a clarity about her belief in Jesus Christ and just exactly what he has done for her and how he can help her now.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Well, a couple of open lines, 1-800-677-9377. This is Basic Gospel. Bob Davis with Richard Piper on this edition. Thank you for joining us. We'd love to hear from you again, 1-800-677-9377. Let's go back to New York and talk to Frank, listening also on WMCA. Frank, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you, the gentleman. We certainly will pray for her, Louise.
Oh, yes, thank you.
And I'd just like to say that methadone is a synthetic narcotic, which is a nervous system depressant, and it makes people depressed, just the drug itself. So she should try her best to try to get off that.
Yeah.
My question, gentlemen, involves salvation and in the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus says in verse 12, Matthew chapter 6, "And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Mm-hmm. Drop down to verse 14. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses."
Mm-hmm.
So what I would like to know is if a Christian who is saved refuses to forgive his fellow man or his brother on a particular issue, I would say that that person is not going to heaven just because of the words of Christ. If he still is going to heaven, it makes Christ a liar. So I wonder if you would address that.
Yes. There is an apparent conflict, and I emphasize the word apparent. When you read the Lord's Prayer, you see that statement, and that's exactly what he said. If you forgive, you'll be forgiven. If you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. And then later on, in both Colossians and Ephesians, Paul writes, forgive one another as Christ has forgiven you. And so something has changed. Either those are in direct conflict or something has changed. And the way we explain this, and I think it's consistent with the rest of the Word of God, is that when Jesus was here, according to Galatians, he lived and taught under the Mosaic law, under the Mosaic covenant. When he died, he fulfilled that covenant and ushered in a brand new covenant, according to Hebrews. And so, under the old covenant, you certainly had to forgive in order to be forgiven, because that was the way it was stated. People needed to understand the cost of sin, their own and others, and forgiveness is one way of admitting that cost and moving on anyway. Well, when Jesus died and fulfilled that law, he was victorious over sin and death, and as a result, instead of asking for forgiveness of God and of each other, we are now forgiven people if we belong to Christ, and we get to forgive as we have been forgiven. Now, coming to your specific question, if there is a person who claims to be a Christian, a born-again Christian, and absolutely refuses to forgive someone else, then I think we have the responsibility to ask them, just what is your understanding of salvation? You don't question their salvation. It may be that they don't understand, and you can go through this issue with them that Jesus died for all sins and that his life is ours if we will accept it. But one of the things that comes along with that life is the indwelling Holy Spirit, who renews our minds, who ministers the agape love of God through us, so that we can give that love to other people. Some of that love is involved in forgiving other people. So if I won't forgive someone, then I am refusing to admit that Jesus died for that person and could possibly save that person, or already has saved that person. And so there's clearly a belief problem with the person who will not forgive. It may be that they are not saved. It may be that they're just confused. And those of us who are in relationship with someone like that should be able to help clarify that issue without making accusations or threatening them with hell or anything else. We need to find out what a person's understanding is so that they can move on in that relationship. And you got to remember, the main point of forgiving is not for the other person. It's for me.
Right.
The longer I hold on to something, the worse that canker grows in my soul. And tears me apart. It has nothing to do with the other person.
If I could expand on that a little bit. You said that the covenant changes with the death of Christ.
Yes.
Well, then why did the Apostle Paul say in Timothy that, and he's writing to Christians, it's clear. He never wrote to the world. He was always writing to Christians. He says if a man refuses to provide for his own, especially for the members of his household, mm-hmm. he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever.
Yes.
Now, he's writing this to Christians. So if a so-called Christian abandons his family, and whether he goes off on his own or if there's another woman involved, or in the case of a woman, another man, I would say that this so-called believer is not going to go to, because he is denied the faith. And
yeah.
We know that if we deny him, it says in another section of Timothy,
well,
he will deny us.
The fact is that Paul and everybody else who wrote letters in the New Testament could not make the assumption that everyone that they were writing to was saved,
right.
No more than you and I can.
Right.
And so what you write is something, in it's an if the shoe fits, wear it situation. So if a man has abandoned his family, it is completely consistent for the rest of us to say, how could he be a believer? How could this person have accepted the true Jesus Christ and do this? So you go to the person and you find out, rather than just, you know, shaking the dust off your feet and throwing them out of the church or whatever's going to happen. Find out, deal with it straight up, and say, let's correct this situation. So what you bring up are completely legitimate concerns, and we need to confront those people that do this kind of thing, rather than assuming they're saved and it'll be okay, or assuming they're lost and they're going to hell. Let's deal with the situation. Let's get the truth out. Let's let Jesus do what he needs to do. Well, Frank, I've got a couple of other calls coming in.
I need to
get to them, but thanks for your call.
Yes,
thank you. God bless.
1-800-677-9377. Open lines. We want to hear from you. Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey. Let's talk to John, listening on WMCA.
How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing fine. Hi, John.
Good. I have a question maybe you can answer. I wanted to get your opinion on the so-called sinner's prayer. Being a Christian a number of years, I see a lot of, especially here in the United States, in the evangelical community, are utilizing a sinner's prayer is like to close the deal, for lack of a better term.
I like the way you put that. Yeah, the way I think is really the way you put it. If the prayer, whatever the prayer is merely for, quote, closing the deal, as if you're selling a car, then it's kind of pointless. What we do here sometimes sounds like a sinner's prayer, but what we're trying to do is help people speak the truth so they know what it is that they're accepting in terms of Jesus Christ.
The reason I ask this question is nowhere in the scriptures do I see Jesus or any of the apostles leading somebody else in a prayer that they made up.
No,
not
at all.
The gospel has always been to repent and believe, and believe, forsake your sins and put your trust in Christ. And I think it's a great disservice because a lot of people think they're Christian because they said a prayer.
Yep.
And I was one of them. I was one of those people who recited a prayer, and I was not saved. I was a false Christian. I was still, there was no repentance in my heart. And so the Lord caused me to truly repent and see his holiness, caused contrition in my heart, and put my trust in Christ alone. And it's very sad, I think, within the evangelical community today to go that route. As I said, there's nowhere in the scriptures you can see Jesus doing that or any of the disciples.
You're absolutely right. The issue is a personal acceptance of Jesus Christ as Savior. And that looks as different for as there are people. Okay, there's no magic prayer. And that's the issue. People think because they said a few words in the right way, you know, with the right tone of voice, you know, that somehow a magic wand has been waved over their lives, and now they're saved. And what I've heard at times is people say, if you've said this prayer, then that means both you're saved and you get to start, you know, asking for things. You know, well, I need a better job, I need a better car. None of that is in the Bible. What is in the Bible is exactly what you say. You come to Jesus, you repent of your unbelief, and you accept him as your Savior, and it's as simple as that. Now, the reason we pray with people is mostly, you know, and I'm talking about us here at Basic Gospel, the reason we pray with people is in order to let them know that they can talk directly to God themselves. That we're not doing anything. We're not waving the magic wand. We are just saying, let's talk to Jesus about this and open your heart to him and say what's on your mind. And quite often they don't know what to say, so we help them along the way. But I can tell you that for those folks who that I've either done this with on the radio or have heard it done, not the prayer itself, but the fact that they actually say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I really do need you. I've heard the change. And we follow up with them afterwards, both with materials and with phone calls, and we follow up to make sure they understood exactly what it is they were talking about. There's nothing magic in the prayer. It's all about Jesus, and I thank you for bringing that out, because that's an excellent, excellent point. So thanks for calling, John.
Yeah, John, hold the line. We want to send you a copy of our gift this month, and just hold the line, and our operator will pick you up. Friends, at Basic Gospel, we have resources to aid your spiritual growth and understanding of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And this month, we're spotlighting a CD called The Basic Gospel Journey, our gift to you during the month of June. For your copy, all you need to do is go online to basicgospel.net and click the link on the homepage. It's our opportunity to say thank you for joining us on this Basic Gospel Journey. Again, that's basicgospel.net, or you can call and request your copy from our operator at 1-800-727-2828. Again, that number, 800-727-2828. Elizabeth, New Jersey, let's talk to Carl, listening on WMCA. Hi, Carl. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Oh, good day to you. Good day and greetings in the name of our crucified and risen Lord.
Well, thank you. Same for you.
I'm opposed to certain liberal preachers like Dr. King, who hide behind the cloth in order to spout their poison like social engineering and socialism to advance their cause. You know that Dr. King even took money from the Soviet communists in order
I'm going to have to interrupt you. You've got a point to make, and I don't want people to lose that point. We Christians, and especially ministers within Christianity, have a very checkered history in terms of politics and mixing politics with religion, and that's unfortunate. What drives it, I think, are that people care deeply about people they know who are suffering, and they don't want them to suffer, and it seems like the best way to approach the suffering is to get the government involved. And it doesn't matter whether you're liberal or conservative these days. The people are always wanting the government to get involved. There ought to be a law.
Right.
Well, we're called to something beyond that, something better than that, the love of Jesus Christ. Rather than pick on specific ministers, because as soon as you start throwing stones at that glass house, then you're going to get them coming back at your own glass house. Not one of us is perfect. I have made mistakes. I've made mistakes in the pulpit that I've had to apologize for. Every one of us does this kind of thing on occasion. So rather than judging people, what we choose to do is to point them to Jesus Christ instead. I tell you, I guarantee you that if you want to know how to improve your community, to improve the relations between races within your community, or whatever your issue is, if you are informed by the love of Jesus Christ, things will change, because Jesus changes first me, and then I can relate to you on a far more positive basis. And that is a lasting change. Law can change somebody's behavior because they're forced to change. Jesus Christ changes us from the inside out so that we are changed for good. And that way, it's the love of God flowing from us to others because of what he's done that allows us to find ways to love each other and communicate and find completely new ways to be in relationship with each other rather than just law-based shaking our fist at each other kind of thing.
So,
I appreciate your call. I know exactly what it is that you struggle with, Carl, because I look at some of what goes on here and shake my head. But I'm not called to change politics. I'm called to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified and raised from the dead.
Yeah. Well, Vivian and Michelle, let's get Carl's information, his contact information, and send him a copy of Bob Christopher's book, Love Is. And I think that will explain a lot as well. Well, Richard, thank you for holding forth today, and thanks to Louise, Frank, John, and Carl for calling and being a part of this edition of Basic Gospel. You know, at Basic Gospel, we are excited to be journeying with you in the love and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone is on a journey, but not all of us know exactly where our journey is going to take us. This is your invitation to take a journey to life and freedom, a journey that begins and ends with Jesus Christ. It's a CD message called The Basic Gospel Journey. It's our gift to you during the month of June. Just click A Gift for You at basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828. That's basicgospel.net or by phone at 1-800-727-2828. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, to address your questions by phone or email and take you into the Word of God for the answer and the for your question or to your specific issue of life. Now for Richard and Bob and all the ministry staff, Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for Basic Gospel.